God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas. God, help me carry your message today. Amen. Now, for those listening to the podcast, I'm not going to do very long. We had a lot of birthdays today, but I just want to cover a few pages. We got to page 129, but I want to review 128. The bottom paragraph, it's something that's not read a lot at meetings, but it's powerful stuff. And it says, they're talking about someone who comes in and they're full of the Spirit. They want to tell everybody about God and all that, and there's nothing wrong with that. They call it spiritual intoxication. Like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn over the last ounce of food. Isn't that when we hit bottom? Our pick struck gold. I heard that today. We strike gold here. We don't realize it's gold. There's gold in this book, in the directions, in the room. Joy at a release from a lifetime of frustration and bondage to me. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time he may try to hug the new treasure for himself. We don't want to do that. He may not see it once, but listen to this. He has barely scratched a limitless load. There's a limitless load of gold, which pays dividends only. This is what I like. Only if I mine it for the rest of my life. If I stop digging, I don't get it, and I lose it, and insists on giving away the entire product. So not only do I get gold, but I have to give it away. And if I don't do that, I lose it. If the family cooperates, Dad will soon see that he's suffering from a distortion of values. Anybody do that? I really like what Scott said. He was under the illusion, right? That things weren't that bad. Yeah. He will perceive that his spiritual growth is lopsided. See, we don't want to go all in for the spiritual and not practice it. See, that's what they're getting at here. A spiritual life which does not include his family obligations may not be so perfect after all. In fact, a spiritual life that isn't doing your obligations to other people, do as you wish others to do to you, do to them. If you're not doing that, you're not practicing that, it's not a spiritual life. If the family will appreciate the dad's current behaviors but a phase of his development, and remember that phase of his development, that's it before the promises on the ninth step. If you've been painstaking about this phase of your development, then you will have a relationship with God and these promises will appear. In the midst of understanding and sympathetic family, these vagaries, an unexpected or inexplicable change of behavior of Dad's spiritual infancy will quickly disappear. The opposite may happen should the family, now this is important, not just for the family, but for the alcoholic. Listen to what he's saying. Am I condemning and criticizing? Am I condemning and criticizing my spouse or other people? What happens if I do that? Dad may feel that for years his drinking had placed him on the wrong side of every argument. Probably true. But listen to this. But now that he has become a superior person. Anybody do that? With God on his side. How dare they? You see how the ego can rebuild and get distorted? If the family persists in criticism, this fallacy may take a still greater hold on the father. You see, people criticize us because we're not practicing the spiritual life, and then we get upset because we feel superior. We have to watch for that. Spiritual arrogance, I have to watch for that. We all have that. We can have it a lot in AA. We're better than them. We're doing it better than them. They're different, blah, 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 all that crap. And instead of treating the family as he should, then he retreats further into himself. And listen to this. He has spiritual justification for so doing. How's that? We justify ourselves with our spiritual program that they're not doing what we think they should to us. And now that's not spiritual. See, so it works both ways. You can get into very bad situations if you're condemning and criticizing. And then if you use that, somebody condemns and criticizes you as a justification for condemning and criticizing them, and it becomes a circle. Though the family does not fully agree with Dad's spiritual activities, they should let him have his head. You know, Dad's sober. He is what he is. Let's just give him a break. Even if he displays a certain amount of neglect and irresponsibility towards the family, it is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics, going to meetings, working with your sponsor, seeking God. You know, we should be tolerant of others. They should be tolerant of us. And when you're working with a new guy, it's the same thing. You know, be tolerant. It takes a while. It is what it is. During those first days of convalescence, this will do more to ensure sobriety than anything else. I mean, that's one of the themes of the big book, and it just says if we don't mine it and give it away, we're not going to keep it. And so, and what am I doing to ensure my sobriety today? That's a good question. Did I pray? Am I seeking God? I'm here. I'm doing this meeting. I've prayed. I asked Patty what I could do to make her day better. She said, get a Jimmy John's sub and don't forget the chips. You know, it's simple things, right? I'm not perfect, but at least I'm seeking God today. I got up, I listened, you know, and I'm working with other people. Why is working with other people so important? It gets you out of you. And people are worried, oh, I can't help them. It's not what it's about. It's helping you. Mm-hmm. And if you help with someone else, you'll work the steps better. I can't tell you how many four steps I've done listening to other people. It helps me see my past, my behavior today, how my self-centered personality reveals itself, how I don't want to do that, allow that, be that person. I need God's help. We think Dad is on a firmer foundation. You see, they're comparing. The people come in and want to get the money and the prestige versus the people who are the God seekers that go the other way. And really, what he's talking about is being spiritual intoxicated and being spiritual arrogant. So we have to watch for the extremes. He will be less likely to drink again, and anything is preferable to that. And then I'm just going to read this next paragraph. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childishness of it. This dream world, we create our dream world. Isn't that what we do? We create a dream world, and it has to be replaced with a great sense of purpose. You see, it has to be real. It can't be something that's in our heads and we're not doing. Are we doing it? Are we practicing it? A great sense of purpose. And what is our purpose in AA? We read it a lot, page 77. Our real purpose is to maximally fit myself to be of service to God. Am I fitting myself today? What am I doing to fit myself? Am I doing my spiritual exercises so when I go out, I can help others? That's what we call our prayer, our quiet time, our meditation. Then are we inventorying during the day? Accompanied, so this dream world is replaced by a great sense of purpose and the consciousness of the power of God in our lives. Isn't that the great thing we can tell other people? God can and will if he sought. God is doing for me. The consciousness of the power of God. Awake to it. That's a spiritual awakening. We have come to believe he would like to keep our heads in the cloud with him. Okay, that's good. But my feet ought to be firmly planted on the earth. What am I doing? What's my walk? That is where our fellow travelers are. So I can't spend all the time with God and not be doing his will. And then after a while, some of this spending your dream world is really all about you and how great I'm doing with God and I'm closer to God and all this other self-centered nonsense we create. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. Are we doing God's work today? In here, in at work, everywhere. These are the realities at home. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. And I'll end with that. These powerful spiritual experience won't be of any value unless it's seen in your works. faith without works is dead. Isn't that what we talk about? My faith in God, if I'm not obedient to God, it's not going to change anything. Who am I being obedient to today? And we talk, that's why I read those passages. Am I being obedient to myself or to God? And is it the 10 step where we watch for that all day long? Okay, Michael, you're not being obedient to God. Watch for it. How do you know? You're selfish, you're dishonest, you're resentful, you're fearful, you're upset, irritable, judging everybody, impatient, intolerant. Am I the only one that has those moments? I guess I'm sicker than others. But we all do it. If we're awake and an alcoholic, we're going to do it. What's the trigger for an alcoholic to separate from God? Being alive. Being awake. And then we have the power now to get back to Him all the time. So I'll end with that. It was short, but I hope it was helpful. And now we're going to open it up. Thank you.